Welcome to the Australian CISO, a podcast for current and aspiring chief information security officers and anyone interested in cybersecurity. My name is Richard Herron. I am the host of the Australian CISO and proud to think there are listeners in 38 countries of the world. All opinions you hear on this podcast are my own or those of the people being interviewed. They do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the companies that I or the interviewees are employed by. The podcast is recorded with Audacity using a Rode Podcaster microphone and hosted on Podomatic. Hi everyone, welcome back to the Australian CISO episode 39. I'm actually recording this on Friday night, which is Friday, October 6, 2023. Why am I putting it on Friday night instead of the usual Sunday? It's because tomorrow I'm having my zillionth COVID injection, and if the past has anything to do with the future, then I'm really not going to be 100% on Sunday, thus tonight's episode. Now, for this episode 39, we're going to finish off the interview I did with Daisy Wong at B-Sides Melbourne about a month ago. Here's part two of the episode. I hope you enjoy it.
And growing up, I didn't see any or many people in a wheelchair. So obviously nowadays, most of us think of Dylan Allcott.
Yes.
I didn't have Dylan when I was growing up. So if I'm able to inspire anyone at all, with a disability or not, I really want to do that. So, to answer your question, I do feel a bit more confident, but that's obviously through experience and I've had a lot of support.
Yeah.
I started becoming, starting to come to a bit more conferences, webinars, speaking a bit more during COVID. So not a lot of people saw below the head.
Oh, I see.
So not a lot of people knew I had a disability. And then I've had some comments. You know, when they've met me, they're like, oh, wow, I had no idea you were in a wheelchair. For me, it's like, does it matter?
Yeah.
Me, whether I'm sitting, standing, walking, wheeling, rolling, I'm still me.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think, unfortunately, there's still a bit of stigma and unconscious bias that we need to work through.
So you think about the world we live in now, a lot of us have got mental issues,
absolutely.
Could have physical issues, could have health issues, could have social issues. We've got all got issues.
Yeah,
and just because I might have a mental illness or whatever, you'd still look at me. You wouldn't walk across the road to the other side if you saw me. So
I'm Chinese. There's a lot of shame with having a disability.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
There's a lot of shame that my parents, more so my mother, I think. Because, compared to her friend's children, her daughter has a physical disability, my mother, I still give her crap about this. My mother wanted me to be a librarian.
Yep.
I'm like, have you met your daughter? Cuss, shut up. Why would I want to be in a library all day, every day? But my mother thought it would be a good role, like position, because, you can sit there, read books and but there is a lot of shame. And I think I break a lot of those barriers. And someone once asked me, why do you have pink hair? Like, why do you want to draw more attention to yourself? And I said, it was my brother-in-law. And I said to him, you know what? Regardless of if I have pink hair or not, people are going to look at me anyway. Give them something else to look at.
Yeah. Yeah. Give them some sort of distraction. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question out of the blue.
Sure.
Chinese year. What year were you born? In the year of the...
Really? That means everyone's going to know my age.
Oh, but it could be 12 years.
True. Rabbit.
Rabbit. All right. Well, I was born in the year of the dragon, so I thought I'd put that on the table.
There you go. Supposed to be a dragon. I came out 3 weeks early.
Oh, could have been two dragons in a row.
I don't know what that means,
but maybe the rabbit will scare the dragon away, or I don't know. Now, where do you see your career going? Or are you one of these people who kind of maps out your career? Or do you just give something go for a few years and then that sort of leads down another side street? How do you handle it?
That's a really good question. I really like what I'm doing now, security culture and awareness. Flybys didn't have this role before I started. So I'm always telling everyone at work and my manager, BD and AD, before Daisy and after Daisy.
Oh.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
it's very greenfield. I'm really enjoying it, building the whole program. So I think I still want to do security culture and awareness for a while. However, I think if I was to think about the next step, I often think chief of staff is another role that I would like in a security team.
Ooh, nice.
You know, like managing kind of, you know, I think you would put security culture within that space, projects or program delivery in that space, and just helping the CISO be that kind of chief of staff.
There should be more of those roles.
That's right. And then when I'm super crazy, I think.
What do you mean when you're super crazy? When?
Like every 2 seconds. And then sometimes I think, I do want to see more female CISOs. Could I do it? Mm. And then, you know, imposter syndrome and like the technical knowledge thing comes back and I'm like, oh, I can't do it. But I don't know. I wonder sometimes because I really do want to see more female CISOs.
Well, you know, my podcast, it's not a hard-hitting podcast like Neil Mitchell on 3AW or the old Darren Hinch from 1970s and 80s. But I'm going to ask you a slightly... That's a political question, but I'll ask it anyway. And that is, do you think, so you've said that there's a limited number of female CISOs. What extent do you think maybe discrimination comes into play with female CISOs? Do you think it exists?
Absolutely.
Especially against females or?
I think it's systemic. It's just a patriarchal society. Women are told to, you know, be friendly, so be independent but not too independent. Yep. You know, be confident but not overconfident because then you become arrogant. So I think a lot of women are just intimidated that they – I know for myself.
Yeah.
I fear doing another role sometimes because I'm like, I know I'm good at security culture and awareness. I know my marketing skills are transferable. I've been doing it for a while.
Yep.
But to pivot and do something else, I think the imposter syndrome is real. And it's because, you know, I'm sure you've heard, Richard, but a lot of women only apply for roles when they meet 100% of the criteria.
Yes, yes.
And that's also happening to CISOs.
Yep. I'll let you on a little secret.
Yes.
I do not know the extent to which gender discrimination occurs. I don't know. I don't have those statistics. I don't know every single CISO who's been employed and checked who else is employed and done all the statistics. I don't know that, but what I do know, it can go both ways, 100%. Right? So I've called recruiters before and said, hey, that role at XYZ looks pretty promising. I'm quite interested. And they've said, hey, look, to tell you the truth, they're looking for a female. Now, I'm sure the opposite occurs as well. You might call and they go, oh, thanks, Daisy. Yeah, we've got enough applicants for that one.
Correct.
Because maybe they're looking for a male, or maybe they're looking for a non-binary person, or maybe they're looking for an LGBTQI, So I think discrimination occurs everywhere. For me, I just accept, and it's probably easy as a male saying this, but I just accept that sometimes I'm going to be discriminated against, sometimes I'm going to be discriminated positively for, and I can't change the world. I just have to accept what I'm given half the time. And
yeah, that's right. I do think we're progressing. We're improving.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
We're definitely improving. No, I once did an interview somewhere and the manager, the first thing she said to me was, you're very quick and agile on crutches. Most people are clumsy and awkward. And I was like, okay, that was the first thing she said to me. Then I asked her, is there a work from home policy?
Yeah.
Because just due to my disability, it's sometimes easier to work from home. Obviously, come into the office once or twice a week or whatever's required. Yep. And she said, I work from home twice a week. I don't expect you to. I'm like, okay. And then she finished the interview by saying, how do you make a cup of tea and go back to your desk?
Right.
I still do not know the relevance of going for a project manager role.
Did you ask her to get back into a time machine to go back to 1834?
The funny thing was the recruiter actually, that they have offered me the role. And when I declined it, the recruiter was actually quite arrogant and was a bit upset, I think. And I just said, hey, I wasn't going to say this, but since you're quite upset about my decision, this is the reason. And he was mortified. Look, I have nothing against that. The hiring manager. Yeah. I think sometimes it's just education.
Yeah.
She just thought it was harmless.
And maybe what I was sort of saying before about discrimination, if you accept that the world is not a necessarily 100% fair place.
Correct.
Then you know what? If things like this happen, whether to you or to me or whoever, just go, well, not surprised, because that's my edict. The world is not a fair place. And then you can move on quicker.
And I am a true believer of everything happens for a reason.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So just because you wanted it doesn't mean it was the right fit.
Absolutely. It's funny. I was talking to someone earlier today. I went for a job at a major retailer a couple of years ago and I didn't get it. I was like, I really wanted that role. And people saying to me, oh, you wouldn't want to work for that retailer anyway. And I said, yes, I would. You know, the conditions were good and all that. And now that I hear what has actually happened to that role, you're right. Things happen for a reason. And I'm so glad I did not get accepted for that role, because my life would be hell. I'd be more stressed than I am.
Yep.
And things wouldn't be good. So yeah, I believe things do happen for a reason, and sometimes you don't get that job for a reason, and sometimes you do get that job for a reason.
Right.
And you meet these people and you transfer information to them, they transfer their information knowledge to you, and you know them for the rest of your life, and it all works out. It all works out well. Now, we are going to talk about hints for new starters. So you said B-Sides, I think you or someone else said B-Sides was about, you know, bringing the new crop of people into security and trying to impart our knowledge on them. You know, just say we had five new starters in this room. They've just started as a trainee security analyst or something. Yep. Is there anything from your history, I don't know, good and bad, that you would draw and say, hey, whatever you do, don't do X, or whatever you do, have you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, 100%. I think definitely the number one tip is keep learning.
Yes.
Yep. So never stop learning, because not unfortunately, but technology just keeps evolving.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember my family's from Hong Kong, so the octopus card.
Richard, yes. I know the octopus card. Yep.
So it's like a marquee in Melbourne. That was like the biggest technology since sliced bread was created. Now, it's 2023. No one uses a physical octopus card anymore. You know, it's all about, like, you know, it's on your phone now. It's all digitalized, things like that. So I think because technology is always evolving, you need to keep up with the technology. So that's one thing. Keep learning. Don't stop. Obviously, the biggest thing right now is AI.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
So again, don't sleep on it, you know. Don't think that AI is not going to impact your life, because it will.
Yeah. We've all, you might be a technical person, but you've got to jump onto it at the very least, ChatGPT, and see what that's all
about.
That's
right. Yeah, that's right. So that's one thing. The other thing I would say, networking.
Yes.
That is so important. But I think networking in the right way. So what I mean by that is, networking doesn't mean you just come to conferences, meet people and ask, how do I get a job and can you get me a job?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm like, unfortunately, I love meeting new people. I love helping people. I don't have jobs lying around for them. Richard, I don't. I would love to flick my fingers and help everyone get a job.
Yeah.
But I believe in true connections, building a connection with someone.
Yeah.
The fact that you and I are sitting down, Richard, you and I met quite a few years ago briefly. Yes. Then we were at an event at the whiskey bar.
Yes, when I was trying to present in a very loud whiskey bar.
Really loud whiskey bar. And then obviously we've seen each other a few other times. Yes. I listened to your podcast. I sent your Kevin Mitnick one to his wife.
Kevin Mitnick's wife?
Yes, because I was talking to her and I said, listen to this. You're welcome.
Okay.
Yep. Anyway,
it wasn't one of my best efforts, but it really only just touched on his life. But
it was a really good episode. Okay. Anyway, networking with the right intention is to get to know people, get to learn people's stories, and not with the intention of I just want a job.
Yes,
I think that's really important. But yeah, like I said, like, you know, the fact that you and I networked and you just tapped me on the shoulder today and said, "Hey, Dave, let's go just have a chat," and here we are. I think that's one. And then on top of networking, I think having mentors is really important as well.
But how do you find a mentor?
So this is an embarrassed plug for AWSN. We have a mentoring platform. So if you're a member, you can sign up as a mentee.
Can a male be a member of the AWSN?
Unfortunately not, but there's other programs out there. I'm pretty sure ASA might have one. Yeah, there's a lot of ways. But when you're networking, this is where you can ask. So I have just networked and I've asked people to be my mentor. And, you know, sometimes they say yes. And it also doesn't need to be the right fit as well.
Do you think I could introduce one as the AMWN or
Australian Male Security Network?
Yeah, maybe I could introduce.
Yeah, why not? So that's definitely another way. Because I remember, you know, one of my mentors, he's not even in cyber, but I've taken what he's taught me till this day. And that is, he said, Daisy, sometimes with your career, you're going to have to take a step back or move sideways, and it's never just going to be linear. And I don't know, I was young and dumb and I was like, whatever, you know, I've done all this education, I'm employable. But he's absolutely right. That's exactly what's happened with my career.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid of that.
And the funny thing, I've mentored people before and through the podcast, I have a number of people who email me and I kind of think I'm actually turning into their mentor. But one thing the mentees need to realise is that you're not going to impart all the answers of life in one session. It's a getting to know you and hearing more about your story and say, well, I was in a similar situation, I did X. So it doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen.
Yeah, it does. That's right.
So you've talked about lifelong learner, networking, which is really important, and having that mentor. Anything else up your sleeve?
Up my sleeve. I would say back yourself.
Yeah.
And don't give up.
Yes.
I genuinely mean it. I was so lost when I left NAB because I was like, I'm pigeonholed. I don't have technical knowledge. There is no space for me. But I am a true believer, when there's a will, there's a way.
You know what? Have you got any more? Because I just want to quickly give you something that links what you've just said about lifelong learner, networking, mentoring, confident, and back yourself. And I want to link that with when you said, how do I get a job? Where do I get a job? I reckon these two, believe it or not, are interlinked because someone who says, how do I get a job in cyber? Where would I get it? Who do I speak to? You've kind of got to ask the question, okay, ooh, slow down. Number one, why are you interested in a job in cyber? Right. And if they come up with, oh, hey, that's where all the money is and that's where all the demand is, to me, that's not enough good reason.
That's right.
I want to know, hold on, are you interested at all in cyber? If you are, that's great that you know, you're passionate about it. If you're not, forget about it. You're not going to last. If you're not passionate about cyber, you'll do it for a year and go, oh, yeah, whatever's, you know, I want to be a crane driver or whatever it is. You've got to have passion. And I reckon, and a bit like your history, you've got to...
Resilient.
You've got to be resilient and optimistic. There's some days, as I said on my podcast, some days you feel like you're the statue and some days you feel like you're the pigeon. I don't know if you understand what that means.
I do.
So some days, things can fall on top of you and you think, what am I doing here? But you've got to be resilient. And resilience is tough, right? Because none of us ever taught resilience and talks to mental health and all that sort of stuff. But probably more than resilient, maybe just optimistic. You know that you're going to have your bad days. You're really going to have your bad days. You're going to have that roadblock in the middle of the road. But you'll get around it somehow. You just got to keep persisting and then maybe going to your network and saying, God, I've got this problem and I'm really down. I feel like resigning. But
that's right. And I feel like people get the wrong idea about networking. Like networking isn't just you get a job from that person.
Yeah.
Networking is as simple as I need a dentist. I ask my friend who's referred me.
Yes.
That is networking. Like I got it through my network, right? Yep. It's not, you know, I want to become a dentist. Like, you know, I think people do have the wrong idea about that. And I think in terms of, you know, resilience, I know this podcast obviously isn't about diversity and inclusivity. It could be. But like for me, I think with my disability, I've actually been really lucky. Like, I think because of my disability, I think I am more resilient. So, because, you know, sometimes people ask, oh, wouldn't you just wish that you didn't have a disability or isn't it hard? And bloody oath it is.
Yeah.
It is. Like, there are some days where it's extra hard. I'm in extra pain. Getting on an aeroplane is a little bit more challenging. My car is modified. My house is modified. Mm. Like, it's not easy. I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
But when there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
And I think, so I think that's kind of my story. Yeah.
Cool. Now that's perfect timing because there's another session starting in a couple of minutes.
Perfect.
One thing I remembered, which I love this saying, I heard John O'Driscoll say it, I think it was at the CyberCon conference last year, could have been somewhere, yep. at one of their conferences. He said, and I had to think about this overnight when he said it, but then it clicked and I got it. I really like it. And maybe he stole this line from you. He said, we've got to move our staff from cyber literacy.
Yes.
To cyber fluency.
That's right.
I love that statement.
Yes.
Was that one of yours?
Or? No, it wasn't. But hi, John. If you're listening to the podcast, I used to report to you. and the other thing John used to always say is it's not if, but when.
Of course, yeah.
Which
yeah.
obviously we all agree in this industry.
Something I never believed in until I did a red team, blue team event a few years ago. And my friend Jojo, who's on episode 3 of my podcast, did a red team, blue team, and it showed you that it really wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when.
That's right. Absolutely.
Well, young Daisy, I think that could well be it. Now, believe it or not, we have spoken for about 40 minutes.
Wow.
So when I put on the podcast, most of my podcasts go for 20 minutes, but I think I'll keep this as is.
Okay.
I might cut out some of the silly statements I made. I don't know. I don't know. But I'm very happy with this episode. We've
Thank
covered
you.
A variety of topics,
yeah.
your history, this, that, security awareness, diversity. Yeah, it's been a good episode. So thank you so much for spending time with the Australian CISO.
Podcast?
Yeah, well, the Australian CISO podcast.
All right.
But it's not the Australian CISO podcast. You're right. It's the Australian CISO podcast. Full stop.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard, for having me. I've had a great time and I'm ready for a coffee.
Rock and roll. I'm ready for a coffee and I'm also ready to hear the next presentation, which is on in 2 minutes. So thank you so much and I'll see you at the next get-together.
Sounds good. Thank you.
See ya.
Bye.
Well, that completes the interview with cyber superstar Daisy Wong. Now, for that interview, I was using two quite small microphones, and the sound quality was just mediocre. So I've invested in some more powerful, better-sounding portable microphones. So hopefully the next interviews I do at a conference will be of a much better quality. I've also invested recently in my own virtual podcasting studio, which will definitely make interviewing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 25 people concurrently a whole lot easier. Well, folks, another hard week at work. Actually, I got the results back from a survey I conducted over the past 2 weeks at work. I'm not going to share the responses with you, of course, but I will share the questions. There is no harm in that at all. Over the past week, I also created a LinkedIn group called The Australian CISO. Who would have thought, eh? So I may use that LinkedIn group to share the survey questions. By all means, join the LinkedIn group, The Australian CISO, to receive the survey questions, not to be confused with a small poll I'm going to do in the same group about mental health. Actually, I've designed 4 different options for a board dashboard, and I think I mentioned that a few episodes ago. Now, I don't mind sharing those 4 different options for a board dashboard on the Australian CISO group in LinkedIn, because there's no sensitive company information there at all. So sharing is caring. I don't mind sharing. If it helps one person, great. If it helps a lot of people, even better. I think you'll at least like one of the 4 options I will post. And there I was just saying goodbye to the episode. Well, it's definitely time to go. Again, I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did recording it. Thanks, Daisy Wong, for your time. Until next week, when I probably whinge about my COVID injection, it's bye from me. Oh, Jacob from Queensland, sorry that Brisbane didn't win, but you had a pretty good go, mate, between 2001 and 2003, especially in 2001 when you beat my team. Thank you very much. Anyway, guys, speak next week. Bye.